Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We thank you, Father God, that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And this morning we open up our hearts and we pray, Father God, that you'd minister to us. We pray that something of God would be deposited in our spirit man. Father, we thank you for insight. We thank you for understanding. Father, we are so glad that you are here to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Repeat after me and say, the word of God is alive.
The word of God is alive.
It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the book of Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1. The word of God is alive. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 17 verse 1. The Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the sojourners of Gilead said to Ahab, as Jehovah the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, except according to my word. Oh, wow. Elijah, are you serious? Except according to my word. As Jehovah, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, except according to my word. Let's go to 1 Kings 18, verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, because of the sound of plenty of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. One guy goes to eat and to drink. Another one goes to pray. Two different lifestyles. Same situation. And it happens today. You find people in the same situation, but people respond differently. Ahab went up to eat and to drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and he threw himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Verse 43, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, nothing. There is nothing. And he said, go again. Seven times. And it happened at the seventh time, he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, wind up and go down so that the rain does not stop you. And it happened in the meantime, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rose and went to Jezreel. James 5 verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power to prevail. The prayer of a righteous man has great power to prevail. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. These are some powerful scriptures regarding prayer. And they are in line with the season of prayer and fasting that we are about to start from tomorrow till Friday. And I just sense we need to teach around this issue of prayer to set the tone for what God is going to be doing in these coming 5 days. Now, take note. The Bible says, the prayer of a righteous man has great power to prevail. The prayer of a righteous person has great power to prevail. And I want you to realize this morning that prayer is the greatest weapon that God gave to his children. And when prayer is done right, prayer will always prevail. Prayer, I want you to take note, will always prevail. And this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject matter, prevailing prayer. We're going to be talking about prevailing prayer as we set our hearts to seek the heart of God in these coming 5 days. What is prevailing prayer? I don't assume that we all know what prevailing prayer is. Let me give it to you so that we know what we're talking about. Prevailing prayer is that type of prayer which obtains the blessing that it seeks by causing God to move on your behalf. Prevailing prayer is the type of prayer that obtains the blessing that it seeks. It is a type of prayer that enables you to see results in your life. Glory be to God. This is a prayer that penetrates the heavens right to the throne room of God. This is the type of prayer that when you have prayed it, you rise up and you know things have happened. You might not have seen them in the physical, but there is an understanding in your spirit, man. There's a conviction that things will not be the same again. Glory be to God. That is prevailing prayer. But I want you to understand that prayer does not change the mind of God. There's a misconception that when I fast for a long time, when I pray for long times, I am convincing God to do something that He did not want to do. No. The intention of prayer is never to change the mind of God, but the intention of prayer is to change the one that prays, so that the one who is praying is rightly aligned with the heart of God for him to release what he wanted to do. So I want you to understand that when somebody gives their life to Jesus, they receive forgiveness of their sins. It's not that they have changed the mind of God. No, it is them that have realigned themselves with the will of God. God says, yeah, come, let us reason together. Even though your sins are as red as scarlet, I'll make them to be as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18. It's not that God has changed his mind. He's now saying, oh, now I want to forgive you. No, forgiveness has always been there. It's just that the recipient was not aligned with forgiveness. So when you pray, you are positioning yourself to receive that which God has always wanted to do for you. God always wants to heal you. But are you in a place in your heart where you are ready to receive forgiveness? Now, I want you to realize that when a church engages in prevailing prayers, the sick are healed. Demons flee. Sin loses its grip on God's people. And the kingdom of God invades the earth. The kingdom of God becomes a reality in your home. The kingdom of God becomes a reality in the lives of your children. I've seen things in my children's lives, especially my young boy. He is a dreamer. And I know the Lord speaks to him. In dreams, he might not understand it at this age. One day he comes up and says, Daddy, I had a dream about this family that used to be in our church. He says, I had this dream and I saw this family, these children, and he names all the children. He says, Daddy, they were in a bus and they were just driving in circles. This family was wondering, where are we going? What are we supposed to be doing? And he said, I saw all the kids in that bus, and I knew the Lord was speaking. And we took it upon ourselves to pray for that family. What am I saying here? When your home is saturated with prayer, heaven becomes a reality. Your children become recipients and beneficiaries of your prayer. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Let's learn from Elijah, the prophet, the prayer warrior. This man lived in a period in Israel in which one of the most wicked kings was on the throne, and his wife Jezebel, Ahab and Jezebel. You often hear people talking about the spirit of Jezebel. It speaks of the wickedness that this woman had, the spirit of the witchcraft and manipulation that was upon her. Ahab and Jezebel had led the people of God into sin. They led the people of God to worship Baal, the fertility god. Okay? They made the people of God to worship at Asherah poles. And they were shrine prostitutes. And everything that was happening, that was an abomination before God. And I want you to realize that it was a spiritually charged environment. And it needed somebody who was also spiritually charged. I want you to know this morning that you are not living in a demilitarized zone. You are living in a place where there is battles that are raging. Unfortunately, many believers are asleep. We just think that things just happen by coincidence. No. There is something happening in the spirit that controls things in your house, that controls things at your workplace. And therefore, if you do not charge yourself spiritually, you become a victim. You become a victim of what is going on around you. Elijah refused to be indifferent. And this is what can happen to us as believers. We can become indifferent to the issues happening around us and just say, well, it's happening to everybody. It happened with my mom. My mom and dad never had a great marriage. Therefore, well, it's happening. My grandma was the same. My great-grandma was the same. No, you have a responsibility to awaken your spirit, man, and say, no, not with me. Elijah looked at the situation and he knew the heart of God was in pain because of what was going on. And he refused to be indifferent. What is the makeup of a prevailing prayer? What is the makeup of that prayer that enables you to receive the intended blessing? What is the makeup of that prayer that enables you to receive the commanded blessing? The breakthrough in your life. Let's learn from Elijah. Number one, I want you to understand that prevailing prayer can be engaged in by any disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to just put that right in the front, that you qualify to make a prevailing prayer. You qualify. You qualify. I qualify. Every child of God that is born again, that is filled with the Holy Spirit, is able to engage in this type of prayer. It's not for a select few. James 5 verse 17. The Bible says, Elijah, verse 17 there. Elijah was a man just like us. You might think that, well, Pastor M, Elijah was a prophet. Elijah was unique. He was called by God. But here the Bible tells us that, that's not the issue. Elijah was just like you and I. Elijah was impacted by the turmoils of life. Elijah would get hungry. Elijah would get angry. Elijah would be afraid and he would run for his life. Elijah would wake up sometimes not feeling good about himself. But the Bible says, Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. What are you facing in your life today? The only qualification is, are you a child of God? Are you born again? Do you have the Spirit of Jesus inside of you? What is the issue? Many believers suffer from what I call spiritual laziness. And as a result, we engage in weak prayers that don't register in the spiritual Richter scale. We are lazy to wake up and pray. We like to make, for what I'm about to receive, may the Lord make me grateful. All of that, you know. Just like you're praying for food. That will not enable you to experience prevailing prayers. Every child of God is able to tap into this dimension. So I'm saying Elijah was weak, and yet he prayed, and things happened. The Bible is full of ordinary people who prayed, and heaven came down. And I want your spirit man to be alert to this. That where you are seated right now, you've got everything that you need in order to change your circumstance. The question is, are you prepared to pay the price? We want it, but we're not ready to pay the price. It's like you walk in a shop. I was walking in a shop with my wife. She was looking for a necklace. And we saw the price of the necklace. We're like, She loves it, but the pocket did not agree just now, but it will agree soon. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What am I talking about? If you are willing to pay the price, you get that necklace. If you are willing to pay the price, breakthrough will come in your life. Glory be to God. Abraham's servant. You know the servant that Abraham sent to go look for a wife for Isaac. Eliezer was an ordinary guy. He was a servant to Abraham. But when he got to the land where his master had said, go and get a wife for my son. The Bible says he was there by the well and he prayed to God. And he says, Father, the God of my master, please show me the wife that you have chosen for my master's son. And the rest is history. The Lord answered that prayer. An ordinary guy. You might be in grade 7 right now. You might be in grade 9 right now. And you feel like I'm too small to pray certain prayers. I am too young to hear what God wants me to do. The same God who spoke to Samuel at the age of 7, he can speak to you when you seek his face. Glory be to God. You can pray and fast and say, I want to hear your voice. And the Lord will speak to you. Amen. Hannah, a simple woman. All we know is Hannah was without child. Hannah was barren. But the Bible says one day she went into the temple of the Lord and she prayed. And the God of heaven answered her prayers. And Samuel was born. Don't tell me you don't qualify to pray prevailing prayers. Jonah, a prophet on the run, running away from God, in the depth of the womb of a fish, tummy of a fish. The Bible says 3 days he was in it and he prayed to God. And the Lord heard him. The Lord told the fish, spit him up. You can't contain that guy. Spit him out. You can pray this week and things will happen in your life. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So prevailing prayer only requires a willing heart. A willing heart. I was telling my kids today on our breakfast table. We're trying to get them to fast. And we could not get it. And I said, we need to just understand why we fast. Why do we fast? You need to understand the implications of fasting. If you don't, you'll find reasons why you cannot fast. So you started saying to me, but Dad, they will ask me, why am I not eating at school? Okay? What am I going to tell them? They will report me to the teacher. Okay? And we say, but maybe fast on Friday because Friday is a short day. Like, but Dad, we are watching movies and we're eating eats at school. I need to eat eats at school. What's your reason for not fasting this coming week? Is it because there's a function at work? Prevailing prayer requires a willing heart and a preparedness to pay the price. When we are prepared to lay down our lives for certain things, we'll reap the reward. Number two, prevailing prayer is targeted on a definite object. Prevailing prayer is targeted on a definite object. And I want you to understand that prevailing prayer is not a random prayer. It's not a machine gun type of prayer. I was watching an action movie last night. You can pray for me, I watch action movies. And these guys were using machine guns. And these automated machine guns would just spit bullets everywhere, hoping that it would hit the target. That's not a prevailing prayer. You just try and you're hoping, by hook and crook, I will hit it. No, that's not prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer is targeted. It is focused. It is a sniper type of prayer where you wait and wait, and wait until the thing passes by and you hit. Glory be to God. We have to make targeted prayers. Because when they come through, you know they've come through. Glory be to God. It is targeted. Prevailing prayer. Many people pray because they have to pray in the morning. And when we end up wasting energy, wasting oxygen, we are just doing machine gun type of prayer. Many people pray at night because they have to pray before they sleep. They don't even know what they should be praying for. But this morning, if you are to engage in prevailing prayer, you need to ask yourself, what am I going to ask the Lord to do for me? What am I expecting the Lord to do for me? Glory be to God. You see, a targeted prayer is a prayer that is full of expectation. Somebody says, Israel Houghton says, a spirit of expectation creates an atmosphere of miracles. When you come to church expecting God to move, He moves. And I'm sure a lot of you were expecting this morning. That is why heaven moved. Hallelujah. Hearts were open. You could sense that hearts were open to worship this morning just before we worship. People were praying. They wanted to touch heaven. And guess what? Heaven came down. When you're full of expectation, you have an opportunity to engage in prevailing prayer. Amen. And the Bible calls them prayers of faith. Prayers of faith. James says, prayers of faith will make the sick well. So before you pray, you need to ask yourself, do you really believe what you're about to pray? Before we got into business, I remember for 7+ years, I used to pray and say, Lord, open a door for me to get into business. And I remember I wrote down and said, Lord, I'm trusting you that when I start my business, this will be my revenue every month. I wrote it down. And lo and behold, today we are beyond that. Why? Hallelujah. We did not just say, Lord, when you give us a business, whatever comes, comes. Yeah. It cannot be like that. At least write it down and pray and believe God that you see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. You go into my journal, you see the stuff I've written concerning this church. There are things I have written all the way to 2027. Where I'm saying, Lord, I'm trusting you for this, for this, for this. It's not a machine gun type of prayer. I'm not saying, Lord, just bless this church. No. Yes, Lord, bless this church in this way. Glory be to God. So when you pray this week, please be like a sniper. Be targeted. Surgical type of prayers. Concise. Precise. So that when you come and stand here and you give your testimony, it is very clear. I prayed for this and the Lord made a way for me. Hallelujah. The prayers of faith make the sick well. Elijah was quite clear about what he wanted. His objective was, there will be no rain in this land because of the sin that Ahab has caused the people of God to get into. He didn't just say, Lord, let there be judgment over these people. He says, this type of judgment, for 3.5 years, no rain, no dew. Let's see how you're going to live. Let's see which true God will come through. He firmly believed in the ability of the God of heaven. Elijah was aligned with the heart of God, and by so doing, when he declared that precise prayer, the Lord came through for him. 1 Kings 17 verse 1, the Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the sojourners of Gilead said to Ahab, as Jehovah the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain. He closed the door, he shut the heavens, and there was no rain. Elijah was aligned with the heart of God. Prevailing prayer is always in line with the will of God for your life. Prevailing prayer is always in line with the written word of God. And I want you to know, if you can stick it out with the word, you will see God coming through for you. Amen. Jesus will come to the sick and you say, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, can't you see the guy is sick? But he still asked, what do you want me to do for you? He goes to a blind man. What do you want me to do for you? That I might receive my sight. Let it be done to you according to your faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1, right? We speak things because we believe. We might not have seen them, but we are full of expectation. What do you want me to do for you? In order for you to make prayers of faith, learn to pray the word. So this week, we're going to pray, Lord, as it is written in your word. Your word tells me that the works of my hands are blessed by you. Lord, this is what I'm touching with my hands. Will you bless it, oh God? Your word says I'm above and not beneath. Lord, help me as I go into my exams. I want to be above and not beneath. You are afraid and fearful. You declare, Lord, I did not receive a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. You declare the word. You're being precise. That's the will of God for you. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm confused. But your word says you make the crooked path straight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now listen to me. With every promise, there is a prayer to be made in order to bring that promise into reality. Has the Lord spoken to you? Has the Lord given you a prophetic word? You don't shelf prophetic words. You pray through them for them to come to light. The Bible says Paul was talking to his son Timothy. He says, Timothy, my son, wage war in line with the prophetic word that was declared over you. Has the Lord spoken over you? If he has, get that word this week and pray over it. I'll give you an example. Isaac, the promised child, upon whom God had said, I will bless you. And through you, the nations of the world will be blessed. Isaac gets married to Rebecca, the one that we spoke about, Eliezer prayed about. Isaac looked at Rebecca and he loved her. But Isaac did not know that Rebecca was barren. But there was a promise concerning Isaac. So that through him, nations will be blessed. Multitudes will come. But Lord, how am I going to have multitudes if my wife is barren? Was there no promise? Promise was there. The Bible says in Genesis 25 verse 21, later, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife. Do not be indifferent concerning scriptures, concerning the promises of God. The Lord has promised, but your circumstance is still lagging behind the promise. You need to pray so that things will come and ensure that they align with the promise of God. Isaac could have said, well, that word was for my dad, not for me, because my wife is barren. The Bible says he prayed. Why? Because she was barren. And the Lord heard his prayer. But God, really, you promised. Why was she barren? Many of you are looking at your situation. They contradict the word of God. And the enemy wants you to think that the word of God is a lie. The word of God is not true. There it is. He was fully convinced that the one who had promised was faithful to come through. If there was no womb in there, he would create the womb. Why? Because there is a promise over my life. Come on now. If the Lord has told you that you're going to be a kingdom financier, and right now you've got no food in your fridge, hold on to the word of God. Pray until things change. Number three, prevailing prayer is birthed through a broken and contrite heart. Prevailing prayer has to be targeted, must be concise. Prevailing prayer has to be a prayer that is made from you need to be targeted, firstly. We said you qualify to make prevailing prayers. Number three, we are saying that here, prevailing prayer is birthed through a broken and contrite heart. The reason why many of us don't pray, because our hearts are full of pride. Allow me to say it for you, because you might not feel good to say it about yourself. Any child of God who doesn't pray, who tells you they cannot pray, At the center of that statement is pride. You feel you can do it by yourself. You feel you're a small God who can change things. Is that the case this morning? If you are to engage in prevailing prayer, your heart has to be in a certain disposition, saints. Humility and favor go hand in hand. In fact, God says he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. When you look at that word resist, he makes an arrangement against you. You wonder why certain things don't work? It's because there is this thing called a haughty spirit. It's a blockage. It's the same spirit that caused Lucifer to be kicked out of heaven. The Bible says he thought to himself, I want to put my throne above the throne of God. When I don't pray, when I'm in trouble, I'm saying I have capacity to do what God should be doing on my behalf. In other words, prevailing prayer requires a certain posture in the spirit. When you pray from a place of brokenness, you attract heaven to come and work on your behalf. When you pray from a place of humility, heaven cannot resist your prayers. Heaven will come down. Heaven will move on your behalf. 1 Kings 18, verse 42. The Bible says, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Eating and drinking the whole year. But Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, a place of battle, a place of contestation. And he threw himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Brother Elijah, what are you doing? He was breaking himself. The place of humility. Could not lift his face up. He said, I'm going to bow down before the King of Glory. I'm going to say, Lord, it seemed easy to cause the rain not to come. But I need you more than ever for rain to come. You are the source of rain, oh God. He was crying out. And that was a place of humility. I don't know if you can picture Elijah. Elijah was in that position. The Bible doesn't tell us for how long. Your back has to be strong to be like that. It's a place of humility. It's a place of being broken. When you fast, it's a place of brokenness. It's a lowly state. You are saying, I cannot trust in the strength that food gives me. I trust in the strength that comes from the Word of God, that comes from connecting with heaven. When you fast, you humble this guy called the body. When you fast, you are teaching yourself to say no to the desires of the flesh. Fasting will enable you to be strong in the face of temptation. Because I don't know about you, but I have a problem when I fast. My sense of smell is heightened. That when I'm at work, somebody's warming something in the microwave. It's like, oh, that smells really nice. It smells nicer than yesterday. Because it's calling you, come and eat. The flesh is saying, feed, feed, feed me. But the Bible says, he who has suffered in the flesh will become victorious. That is why we fast. Glory be to God. We are teaching ourselves discipline. So Andrew says, so Dad, can I drink water when I'm fasting? Yeah, you can drink some water. Like, so I can drink some water to fill my tummy. Don't cheat the system. Go through it. Yes, you'll be hungry. It's okay. When you're hungry, it's a reminder that talk to the Father. Glory be to God. When you do that, hunger, you forget about it and you keep going. So Elijah was in that uncomfortable place, a place of humility, a place of brokenness. The famous scripture of 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 comes to mind. It teaches us a great deal about how to engage in prevailing prayer. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. A humble person knows that they are God's child and they should fully submit to his ways. If my people. It is so important for you to realize that it's a place of humility to acknowledge God is your Father. Because you then say, I submit myself to the authority of my Father. A humble person is not afraid to call for help. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God is waiting for you to pray and to seek his face. When we call upon his name, he comes down and he changes things for us. A humble person does not remain in their sinful state. They ask for forgiveness. What is it that you need to confess before God? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Goes on to say, forgive us our sins. Even as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. The Lord Jesus says, if you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, my Father in heaven will not forgive you of your sins. And then there's a place where the Bible says, in Isaiah 59, I think, it says, my ears are not deaf that I cannot hear you. Neither is my hand shortened that I cannot save you. But your sins have separated you from me. You see, the steps we're going through here. So as we engage in prayer, it's always good to say, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me of sins of commission and sins of omission. You might have committed something, you might have omitted something. It is so important for us to be aware that what the enemy does, he wants to bring accusation before God. And whenever you pray without having confessed, the enemy always wants to bring in an accusation. So, so important. We are talking about prevailing prayer comes from a place of brokenness. Let's do the last point. Prevailing prayer is born out of persistence. Please repeat after me and say, persistence. Let's say it again with passion. Persistence. This is the key. The devil is very impatient. If you can hold it out, he's going to run at some point. I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus in the desert after he had been baptized. The Bible says after he had been baptized, the Holy Spirit led him into the desert to be tested. He prayed and fasted for 40 days. And the enemy came and tried him out. And at the end of all those temptations, the Bible says he left him for a season. We need to hold on. The movie I was watching last night. So they're trying to stop the enemy from coming into this office. So the seals were like, for how long shall we hold them back? And the general says, we're going to hold on here as long as we can. As long as we can, we'll hold our position. We're not going to surrender. And saints, that's the attitude we need to have. We need to have a level of stubbornness in the spirit. See, many people can start praying, but very few can keep at it until they prevail over the situation. We can start. May the Lord give us the grace to keep at it until we see results. Glory be to God. Elijah was persistent in prayer. When it was time to pray, for rain, it was not at the click of a finger. 1 Kings 18:43, the Bible says, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, nothing. Papa, there is nothing. How many times have you received no's? Rejections. Are you about to give up and throw in the towel? And he said, go again. And I want to say to us this morning, I don't know how many times we've prayed. Let's pray again. Come on now. Let's pray again. What options do we have? Which sangoma can deal with my issue? No. Nobody can deal with what I'm facing. But there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. There is a God in heaven. The maker of heaven and earth. The great I am. I'll continue going back. I'll continue knocking on the door. And Elijah did not listen to this man who said, there's nothing. He said, go back. I'm praying. Go back. I am praying. Go back. 7 times. And I want you to realize that 7 times talks of the completion. Perfection. So 7 times, I don't know if it is 7 times these 7 times. Oh, God was saying this man prayed until. I don't know how many times the father of faith, Abraham, prayed. How many of us are 25 years and below, yeah? Lift your hands. 25. You see, your entire life, Abraham was praying and trusting God for the miracle. 25 years. How many years have you been waiting for a breakthrough? 2 years? Let's put it in perspective, saints, so that we pray without ceasing. We pray without growing weary. Glory be to God. Because the one who promised is faithful. He is able. Glory be to God. And it happened at the 7th time. He said, Master, there arises a little cloud, a small cloud. You don't ignore small clouds. You celebrate small clouds because that is the seed of the great breakthrough you're about to have in your life. Glory be to God. You thank God for the little movement of his finger because before you know it, he moves his hand and your life is totally changed. When they come to you, they will not even recognize you. Why? Because the God of heaven is working on your behalf. You see, we are in a fast-paced world now where everything happens quicker than ever before. Even the year seems to be going faster than ever before. I don't know about you, but it is just recent that was January. But now we're going into October towards my wife's birthday. Came very quick. But this is the thing. We talk about the speed of internet. We struggled here with LTE. Now we've got fiber. Why? We want things to be quicker. We want to stream so that everybody can see us talking without a drag. We talk about the microwave where you just press buttons and the food is heated. Come on, I talk about the speed of traveling. How train? They say go at 160 k's an hour. Now, without realizing it, we have become conditioned to expect even our prayers to be answered on the click of a finger. Yeah. Our patience has diminished. Now, if you have to see prevailing prayer, you need to learn to wait and fight in the spirit because you are involved in a war. Think about Russia and Ukraine. On the 24th of February, Putin and his tankers went into Ukraine. They thought it was going to be a smash and grab, quick in and out. But 7 months down the road, they're still in the trenches right now. Talking about in the natural, how about in the spirit? How about where the devil knows very well that the moment she gets that breakthrough, that church will be built? I'm not going to give you that breakthrough. No, I'm not going to release it. The devil knows very well that the moment that this marriage works, that marriage will be healed, that one will be healed, that one will be healed. No, I'm going to stay on. Saints, we need to pray until things change. Because things will change. The Lord says, for I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you. Plans of good and not of bad, to give you a hope and a future. Don't give up on God. Now, Jesus taught regarding persistence in prayer. As I close, in Luke 18, he says, and he also spoke a parable to them to teach that it is always right to pray and not to faint, saying, a certain judge was in a certain city, not fearing God, not respecting man. And a widow was in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not do so for a time. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, that she not wear me down in the end. Further down, that scripture says, listen to what unjust judge did. How much more your Father in heaven? Will he not speedily answer those who call unto him? Saints, we just have to hold on. So prevailing prayer calls for persistence. Prayer is like a battering ram that hits against the walls of the enemy. Keep at it. Keep at it. Before you know it, the walls will be broken down. You see, prayer works. Prayer works on you to make you ready to receive your miracle. And it works on the enemy to loosen his hold over your miracle. That's what prayer does. The longer I pray, the more prepared I am for the millions that are coming my way. Glory be to God. When they come, I won't forsake God. Because I know it's not because I'm smart, it's because I prayed. Glory be to God. So when prayer is done well, prayer starts working on the prayer warrior. When the prayer warrior is ready, the enemy is a little fish to fry. The bigger problem is me. The Lord wants me to be ready to receive his miracle. And when I am ready, he just speaks a word and the enemy flees and he releases the blessing. Persistence in prayer. I want us to rise on our feet. We're talking about prayer, prevailing prayer. We're going to ask Jesus to equip us, to enable us this coming week to engage in prayer again. The prayer of a righteous man has power to prevail. The prayer of a righteous man has power to prevail over the righteous man and over his circumstances. Oh, how much I want prayer to change me. The more we are prayerful, the easier God can have access to us. When you are a prayed up individual, the Lord finds it easy to locate you. A prayerless individual cannot be located by God. Why? Because I'm not in a place where he can deal with me and talk to me. Oh, how much we need to pray as a church. How much we need to pray as a church. I want you to pray for yourself right now in the name of Jesus. And say, Lord, in this season of renewal, do not pass me by. Lord, do something with me. Change me, oh God. Give me the grace to pray. Give me the grace to stand on your promises. Lord, I am discouraged because I've been praying for this situation. But the same grace that was upon Elijah, may it come upon me to pray. Father, until I see results, Pray until something happens. Push in the spirit. Come on now, pray for yourself.